We're back talking about the report issued today by Physicians for Human Rights, criticizing Afghanistan's Taliban government's treatment of women. Zora Rasek is senior health researcher for PHR and co-author of the report. She was in Afghanistan from February to May interviewing women. Afghani women are not allowed out of their houses unless they're fully covered in a shroud-like garment called a burqa. Rasek interviewed an Afghani pediatrician who described the health risks associated with wearing a burqa. Here's Rasek quoting from the doctor's testimony.
Walking in a burqa is hard. It has so many health hazards. It causes poor vision, impaired hearing, skin rashes, headaches, itching of the scalp, and loss of hair. Wearing a burqa also causes depression in women. You cannot see well, and there is a risk of falling or getting hit by a car. Shopping is problematic for women since we cannot see the items very well from under the burqa. Also, for women with asthma and hypertension, wearing burqa is very unhealthy. End of quote. So this is what the concern of the health professionals about wearing burqa.
Well, Afghanistan is a poor country, and I wonder if a woman doesn't have the money to afford a burqa, does that mean she can't leave her house?
Absolutely. Let me refer you to another quote from a group of women. These were displaced women that I interviewed in a abandoned school. They were living in an abandoned school, and they could not leave the place, even to go and see a doctor. And one of the women, very, very upset, she came to me and she said her 20-year-old daughter just passed away a week ago. And the reason for that was that she did not have a burqa to go out and take her to the doctor. So she had stomach problem and they didn't know what it was. The 20-year-old daughter died at home. And a crowd of women around me asked me, could you please send us burqa from the United States so we can go out if we need to? We have to take our child to the doctor.
I also know that in Kabul that thousands of women are widows, and the way the restrictions have been written is that a woman can't be on the street unless there's a man escorting her. If a woman doesn't have a man to take her from, I don't know, the market to the hospital, how does a woman get out of her house?
Well, that is another problem for women, for widows especially. Even though in the city of Kabul, I saw women walking with other women. Usually, if there's not a male a chaperone, two women, three women, they walk together. There are some women walking alone. I saw that. So they take the risk. A lot of women in this survey told me that they were refused treatment or admission to a hospital because they didn't have a chaperone, and their female chaperone does not count. This is a major problem. Women have been stopped on the street and beaten because they were out without a chaperone. And it happens randomly. Of course, it is not something that happens every day and every second. But at the same time that you do see women walking on the street with other women or without a male chaperone, if they are at the wrong time at the wrong place and the religious police caught them, they are in trouble.
How do the religious police then operate on the streets, and are they then the arm of the Taliban government?
Yes, the religious police from the Department of Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice is the sole security force of Taliban. For controlling vice and promoting virtue. They have all the authority for punishment and detaining people, men, women, children, it doesn't matter.
You mentioned the fact that in conducting the study that you were detained. What happened?
During conducting this study, there were a number of times that I was stopped, and in a few occasions I was harassed. But the only time that I came very close to a physical abuse by a Taliban police was when I was walking on in a diplomatic area of the city by myself. And the weather was getting warm. It was mid-April, and I had a long jacket on, and I had my sleeve a few inches rolled up, and that my wrist was showing. And all of a sudden, I heard somebody yelling at me, and I looked up, and there's about 10 feet away from me a Taliban police with a whip or a cable on his hand was yelling in his language, in Pashto, saying, "You shameless foreigner or shameless infidel." I realized, and he was pointing at my sleeves, I automatically pulled down my sleeves, and I thought that would do it and I'm okay. But I looked up, and he was coming towards me with this whip in his hand, waving on the air, and he seemed extremely angry, like a angry tiger running towards me. I realized that it was not a good idea to wait and to try to reason with him. He would have hit me regardless of whether I pulled my sleeves down or not. So there was a ditch in front of me, and I just jumped on the other side of the street and started running and found an alley and sort of got myself lost in there. And I lost him. That was I came. That's how much I came close to a beating.
I know you visited some hospitals to get a sense of the conditions there. And again, we're talking about a country that had some 10, 20 years of war, first with the former Soviet Union, then a civil war. In looking at the conditions in hospitals where women are being treated, are you concerned about the level of sanitary conditions and the risk of disease and communicable disease?
Absolutely. In these hospitals that I visited, the sanitary condition is definitely below standard. There is no sterilization of the equipment. I was told firsthand by a nurse working in one of those hospitals that needles were repeatedly used from patient to patient without being sterilized. And there's no gloves, there's no any means of keeping an infection going from one patient to another. In one of the hospitals, in fact, this was the maternity hospital, as I was visiting, I saw two women sharing one bed. And first I thought that was just a relative lying down next to a sister or a friend. It turned out that the bed was shared by two patients, both of whom were bleeding from... they had abnormal bleeding, and one of them had a miscarriage. And in one room, there's six or seven beds, and yet still there's not enough room for the patients. And basically, all the patients that I talked to, they were they're resting, and no treatment plan for any of them. Some of them had given a prescription, but were not able to buy the prescription. They were just lying down. And one person, one woman who was sharing the bed, had lost a baby for the Rh incompatibility, and there was no antigen for her. So she was just lying down waiting for her baby to be lost. Mm. And after that, she was discharged.
Zora Rosick is senior health researcher for Physicians for Human Rights. They just issued a report on the condition of women in Afghanistan. I'm Artie Moskowain, and this is Fresh Air.